Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. This program discusses how the gospel of Jesus Christ helps families to live lives that bring great blessings. Today we will be discussing how we can help children and youth learn values. And I'm joined today by three of my favorite people. I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it probably to the day I die. And I hope that's not soon. But when I look at individuals that we could have come and help us understand helping others learn values, I don't know if we could have asked anyone better. I'm joined today with Sister Cheryl Esplin, who is the second counselor in the primary general presidency. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you, Matt. I enjoy just coming and chatting with you and others about gospel topics.
Isn't it fun?
Isn't it fun?
As a matter of fact, I think this is a great model. This is kind of like we're family sitting down and saying, hey, what do you do here?
Yes.
And what do you do here? What have you learned, et cetera? And I'm thinking, boy, this is a great family. So thank you. I look forward to all that you're going to teach us, Cheryl. Cheryl, of course, you have the responsibility and the great privilege to work with children throughout the church. I'm sure your life has been blessed with that.
Children are just one of the lights of my life. And not just my own children and my grandchildren, but children all over the world. I can't see a child and not just have my heart drawn toward that child.
We are also joined today with Ann Dibb, who is the second counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. Thank you for coming in.
It's wonderful to be here.
I'm excited to learn from you. I know that you've had a lot of experience in teaching young women, teaching young men as a mother, as well as and also in family settings. What a great honor this will be.
Well, I'm excited to be here and learn alongside you.
This is exciting, and I'm hoping that we will be able to have you share some of your experiences, particularly with young women, of what you've been learning from them and also from leaders throughout the church.
And that's a joy. Sometimes we always think of what we are going to be teaching the youth or our children, when in reality, they teach us many things that we can learn in no other way.
That is so true. And I think that we could all agree, because we are in similar situations where we have the opportunity to go out and be with the saints. And some people will ask, well, what's the best part of what you do? And for me, it's being with the saints. It doesn't matter where it is. It could be 5 miles from here or 5,000 miles. It's just being with the saints. And what a joy it is to learn from the saints living their lives.
And we do learn from them. That's what I love.
Well, I'm a little embarrassed. Every time I'm with the saints, I walk away thinking, well, I didn't do any good there. But boy, I'm so grateful I had the chance to learn from them.
That's right.
I'm a better person and will try to be even more. So you're right, Cheryl. And we're also joined today with Adrian Ochoa, who is the second counselor in the Young Men's General Presidency. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you, dear friend. I'm so happy to be here with you. And that's precisely my experience today. I'm learning so much from you that I feel it's a great blessing for me.
Well, let's be blessed then, especially from you. As we are talking today, we're going to talk about how to help children and youth learn values. And by the way, that question is actually specifically designed. It's not how to tell children and youth about values, but it's how to help them learn and to live values. So having the expertise we have here sitting together in this room, I am ready to be instructed. So give me your best shot. How do we help children and youth learn and live values? What's your first reaction to that?
My first reaction is what I have in my hands.
Since this is radio, Adrian.
Yes, I know. This is why I'm going to explain it.
I'm excited.
The first thing I have in my hand is the pamphlet or the booklet for the Strength of Youth. And it's a wonderful resource that we have that the church or the Lord has provided for us to teach our youth the wonderful principles that they need to learn. And we have a new for the Strength of Youth that recently came out. And it's been updated to the challenges they have on a daily basis. And the principles that we have here are just wonderful. Now, I'm in a young man.
Wait, before you go to this next one, because I like this, and please jump in on this for the strength of the youth. I had an interesting experience just this week where a college-age young woman came up and she expressed her disappointment. She said, what should I do about this? Is I have friends who believe that for the strength of the youth has an expiration date. And I said, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, they feel that as soon as you turn 18 and you leave young women's and you leave young men's, that the, for the strength of the youth no longer applies to adults. What's your reaction to that?
It's for you.
Yeah, I like that.
There is no expiration on the teachings that are found and for the strength of youth. And actually what I believe is there isn't a standard or a commandment that's found in that book that will not build and strengthen relationships, whether it be with our peers, our friends, our working environment, or in our families. Children have a responsibility to live these values, and so do parents, as they recognize children are looking up to them, and we can't let them down by any of our behavior that is not absolutely true and consistent.
That's
with
good.
The standards.
You sound a little passionate about this, Anne.
I am.
You should be.
I read the newspaper and I read of various experiences and I think, excuse me, what about their children?
Yeah, I am glad you're passionate. As a matter of fact, as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think of Elder Russell Ballard, who talks about this experience where he says, consequently, if we are raising the bar for our sons, then it says that means we are also raising the bar for you. And he's speaking to parents. And so this for the strength of the youth, I like what you said, because I say this all the time. It's for the strength of you. Regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of anything.
Sure. Well, they're gospel standards. They're standards for the family. Children, there's not a standard in there that children can't benefit from.
And also, many of them are stated in such a way so as to, again, benefit, again, every environment, but also as a means of protection. You know, I look at various situations and I think, oh, goodness, what commandment was broken that eventually led an individual to that particular place? And again, as we live these standards and these expectations from prophetic word, then we are blessed in all of our settings and we will be protected from some very possibly sad outcomes.
I agree with this. And as a matter of fact, when you are speaking, you're almost saying the direct tone is in the beginning of For the Strength of the Youth, there is a first presidency message.
Yes.
And they're saying exactly what you have said.
Well, this is what they're saying, precisely in the first page. The standards in this booklet will help you with the important choices you're making now and would yet make in the future. And that is a promise. We promise that as you keep these covenants you have made and these standards, you will be blessed with the companionship of the Holy Ghost. Your faith and testimony will grow stronger and you will enjoy increasing happiness.
That's good. And that's signed by whom? If you look
this
at the very
one, this is a message from the youth from the First Presidency.
First Presidency. So this is an important element of helping us to understand values and then to help others live those values and receive the blessings therefrom.
Also, sometimes I like to personalize this, and as I read it, rather than we promise that as you keep the covenants, I like to say, I am promised that as I keep the covenants I have made and these standards, I will be blessed with the companionship of the Holy Ghost. My faith and testimony will grow stronger, and I will enjoy increased happiness.
That
as
is
I
wonderful.
Personalize these statements, it really goes into my heart as to its value.
That's very nice, Anne. I really like that a lot. And so we can see great strength, no pun intended here, from pamphlets or materials like this that come because some parents, some leaders, some friends are saying, how do I help others understand, know about, and live values? And one great resource guide is For the Strength of the Youth pamphlet. I invite every parent, regardless of the age of your children, or even if you don't have children, to have a For Strength of the Youth pamphlet and review that. I can't help but think how my life has been blessed in helping my grandchildren be able to be raised with a value system and discuss things that are in For the Strength of the Youth. So that's great, Adrian. And you are going to go through and you are going to say something, another resource guide. And I interrupted you, so.
Well, I'm sorry to take so much time, but I need to do this. It's fulfilling my duty to God for Aaronic priesthood holders. As we go around the world, we find extraordinary young men. And those that have cut the message of going through the experiences of the booklet, My Duty to God, are priesthood holders that are growing, that are becoming. The New Duty to God is not about check marks. It's not about gaining a recognition. It's about becoming a better priesthood holder. It's becoming a future wonderful missionary. It's about values in their lives that they go through the of the process of learn, act, and share. And as they're doing this in every exercise in this booklet, they become better, and their values are instilled in their hearts.
That's good. I like that, because the values aren't something they're just learning about. That's important. I like the way that this pamphlet is constructed, because it helps us learn about doctrinal principles, but then it helps us learn to value those principles as we act upon them and share them with others. And so once again, I would say the same thing. I would invite individuals to have a copy of this experience of and I actually like the full title of this one, not just Duty to God. I love how it really says fulfilling, and then you talked about personalizing and fulfilling my duty to God.
Yes.
And so what a better way to help individuals than to have a copy of this as parents, grandparents, leaders, and review ways that we can help, especially with young men, to learn and value the standards and values of the church.
Two weeks ago, I asked a mother, has it been difficult for you to be teaching your children from My Duty to God? And she started to weep. And she said, no, I thought that was going to be very hard. And when I started to find out what it really is, then I started to teach my children. And it's been an incredible instrument for me in my home to teach the boys with Duty to God.
That's really good. And once again, this comes back to the point of what we're talking about, is how do we help youth and children and others to be able to learn, understand, and live values. And these are great resources. And by the way, Fulfilling My Duty to God at the very beginning has a nice message from
the first presidency.
So this isn't just, oh, here's a nice little couple of things you can look at. These are, the way you said it, Anne, I think was very inspiring and true. These are prophetic words. And endorsed by prophets, seers, and revelators. Now, I'm sure there's other resources that could be out there, like, I don't know, Cheryl, do you have any suggestions, perhaps?
Well, you know, as Adrian was talking about Duty to God, I thought, well, and for primary children, we have Faith in God, which provides experiences for children to live the gospel, families to live the gospel. And I think so much of what we have in the church is just giving parents vision of what, these are not just programs. These actually can help children and families live gospel principles and internalize values and set personal religious behaviors that will last a lifetime.
Which are what really values are. That's what I like about all of the things we're mentioning here. They're not just nice little check marks or, as you mentioned, these are really what we call values. It's things that we value that develop our character to live a life, not something we're supposed to do, but really it becomes literally who we are, and this is how we act. And
also the importance of utilizing Duty to God, Faith in Action, Personal Progress as a means in our family home evenings.
Oh, amen.
And also being able to discuss very important subjects with our children in, you know, again, a loving atmosphere, which can invite the Spirit, and we can talk about various things that maybe we wouldn't have a discussion on, very important topics which can bless families. And so I'm grateful for Personal Progress as well. And so as mothers have the opportunity of doing Personal Progress with their daughters and grandmothers and other leaders, it all we're concerned about strengthening their faith and testimony of Jesus Christ and helping them truly understand they are children of God.
Well, that's right. As a matter of fact, in the Faith in God on the cover for both the girls and the boys, I love the scripture, which actually comes from John. Here's the whole purpose, and it's what you're saying, Anne, is that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's to know. And I like what you're saying. I also like this concept of using these resources in family home evening in our teaching. Some people, they have a broad range of ages.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, oh, well, which should I use? Should I use For the Strength of Youth, or should I use Fulfilling My Duty to God? Should I use Faith in God? Should I use True to the Faith? Should I use Preach My Gospel? And for me, I think the answer is yes. Yes, you should, because they're not exclusive of each other. What you find in Faith in God, you will find similar principles in when it comes down to personal progress. You will find them in the experiences in, when it comes for the Strength of the Youth, when it comes down to also Fulfilling My Duty to God. And it's not competing, but they can weave together, and you can teach well if you know what's out there.
Also, the importance of each of these resources turns us to the scriptures.
Oh, no doubt about it.
That we can reinforce the importance of the power of the Book of Mormon in helping our youth to recognize that this is a book that has come forth for to bless us in our day with our situations. And as we have an understanding of this truth, it will bless and strengthen our lives.
Nicely said. Now, Cheryl, this might be the same dilemma that we have with For the Strength of the Youth that we were talking about, is some people feel they graduate from the Strength of the Youth. So when we look at Faith in God, principles that are just for primary age, or does it extend? What's your thought on that?
You know, I think of a little family in our ward that the mother was talking about the principles in this Faith in God book, and she was helping one of her sons fulfill one of the requirements, and it was on serving others. And so they decided to make an apple pie for everybody. Well, they decided to make 5 apple pies. Each one of their children would make one, and then she would make an extra one for the family.
Oh, I like that. So each one was involved in making pie. Okay, this
is
great.
Each member of the family was involved in making a pie, and then they got to choose who they would take that pie to. And it all came about because of a activity in the Faith in God. But she said, do you know that that has become a family tradition?
Oh, I like that.
She said, now every year we, as soon as those apples start coming off the trees, her children start saying, now, when do we do our apple pie? When do we get to do our apple pie service? Make an apple pie and take it to somebody.
See, that's a family tradition that's based upon a real nice value that we'll be extending through a lifetime. That's great. And one of the things I like is I'm old enough now where when siblings get together, or even when I'm sharing with my own family, we tell stories of what we used to do. And it's really a sharing of generational values. Here's who we are, and here's what we have done, and here's what we will continue to do. Now, I think that there might be one more resource that we could at least discuss. There are many resources, but Anne, what about young women personal progress as far as teaching and helping others with values? Once again, I love the full cover on this one, where it doesn't just say personal progress. It says standing as a witness to God. I just love this. Thoughts on this with helping others learn values through this great resource.
Sometimes as we think of values, and especially in young women, and we think of the theme, many times we don't recognize that these values are actually attributes of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
And so as we practice the importance of having faith and being able to serve others and knowing of our divine worth, and all of these things then reflect back to our Savior. And I will say, you know, when I ask youth, what is your favorite statement in the theme? Most will say, we are daughters of our Heavenly Father. But I will share one of my favorites is, I know that as I come to accept and act upon these values, and that is our choice as to whether or not we will act and whether it will become a part of us. But then the promised blessings that will be ours, that we will be worthy to make and keep sacred covenants and receive the ordinances of the temple. We want our young people to always be worthy of going, being able to go into the house of the Lord and receive His promises, as well as honoring their baptismal covenants and being found pure and worthy before the Lord and with others.
This is great. All of these resources, I didn't mention this when Cheryl, you were talking about the faith in God, but that also has a cover letter from the First Presidency, as does Personal Progress, Standing mm-hmm. as a Witness, a cover letter. These are prophetic utterances, and from a personal note, and I don't want to be too personal on this one, but I have to say, as a parent and as a father, and also as an individual, I have been blessed by having these materials in my life, actually. I have a son right now that we are working together, and it has been a great treasure working together in fulfilling my duty to God. And it's a reminder to me to fulfill my duty to God, not just helping him understand his duty. And it's been a blessing. By the same token, what a pleasure and a privilege has been to work through Personal Progress with my daughters. I have learned a lot as a father. Sometimes we think that that's just that's the woman's side of thing. That's a mother and daughter experience. But my goodness, my life has been blessed. As a matter of fact, I will always hold true to principles I learned in the virtue experience with my daughters. What a blessing that was to go through that.
It's a powerful experience.
It was. And reading the Book of Mormon together and underlining things and sharing things. It is a privilege and a huge blessing it has been in my life. And with primary children, now I'm working with grandchildren in primary age. And I feel I have a responsibility as a grandfather, not to parent, but to be able to go through and help them learn values and reinforce. We've talked about that before, reinforcing in other ways. So I am grateful for the efforts that you are making in your presidencies to bless the lives of others in the church. But, Anne, as you said it, this is really coming down. It's scriptural based and it is prophetic based. What a blessing. So I could say, I know this is true. And I could even say, I testify this is true. But for me, I can even do one better. I can say I witness that these principles that are in these experiences here, they help us to teach and embrace the values of Christ.
I'll say one time I was in a parking lot and I looked to the car next to me and I was just touched as I saw multiple copies of For the Strength of Youth in the car. There's Duty to God, there's Personal Progress, Faith in Action. Just they were everywhere. And I thought, this is a family that will be blessed because, again, their parents are striving to establish a gospel-centered home and a gospel-centered car.
I don't think we lack for resources.
No.
No, we don't.
It's just that we need to prioritize our lives. Our lives are becoming so busy that taking the time, finding the time, making the time to teach our children and to learn together as families and live the gospel together as families is what we need to learn to do.
You know, that's so good, Cheryl. As a matter of fact, when you're speaking, I thought of Elder Oaks, who said, our priorities are most visible in how we use our time. And so it's one thing to talk about values, and it's an entirely different thing when we live what we value and our priorities reflect our true values. And I think that that's an important thing to help children and youth learn to discern what is most valuable. I think of it wasn't a scripture, but it's almost scriptural to me. On my refrigerator growing up, there was a little sign on there that said, far too often we trade what we want most for what we want for the moment. And I that has been ingrained in me as a core value is to say, wait a second, am I going to trade what I want most for what I want for this moment? And I think of the refrigerator, and I remember praising my mother saying, Mom, you are a prophetess for putting that on the refrigerator. It has led me and helped me throughout my life. And she was a little bit embarrassed to admit that she said, I wasn't a prophetess. I put that up when I was on a diet.
Yeah, I love that.
And I said, diet or not,
it's true.
It worked.
You know, sure. And we all remember that talk by Elder Dallin Oaks, where he talked about good, better, and best. And he said, the amount of children and parent time absorbed in the good activities of private lessons, team sports, and other school and club activities need to be carefully regulated.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they could just eat it up. I was listening to a talk show host driving home the other night, and he said, he was talking about all these activities that we involve our children in. And he said, are we outsourcing the raising of our children?
And that's a scary thought, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so I think as parents and as leaders, hopefully we are embracing the values that are coming from scriptures, prophets, seers, and revelators. And it is our responsibility to – I just love this song coming from the primary. This is becoming more and more deeply ingrained in me. Lead me. It's our responsibility to lead, to guide, to walk beside, not just sit there and shout directions, but walk beside. Help them find their way. Teach them all that they must know and they must do so that they might live. This is really great.
Well, and again, then we transform it into we. Teach me what I must learn.
Oh, that's right.
There's never an age limit
on
our learning.
Isn't that exciting? We never really truly arrive in the sense of, oh, this is so boring. I hear that all the time in today's world. This is boring. I have never found the gospel of Jesus Christ to be boring ever,
I also want to share the importance of multiple families in a ward who are living these same standards. When it's empowering when you recognize that I know what's in my home, but because other individuals in my ward and their families, I know that my children won't find things in their home that aren't in keeping with the standards as well. And how we can reinforce and, again, live the gospel, recognizing, again, these are words from the prophet. Obedience to the prophet brings blessings. I don't think we should, I know what he says, but we're not going to do it quite to that point. That might be a little extreme. And I believe, again, these words are given to us as a protection.
Protection from those who see, seers, those who are
That's
prophetic
right.
to be able to speak God's will, his values, what he values. That's really good. Sadly, we are out of time again. But before we depart, I just wanted to take advantage of good friends and wise friends. And I just want to pick your brains and especially fill of your hearts of what is one thing that you might share with those who are listening, something that's a practical way to approach helping others learn values. You say, okay, here it is. I'm going to have my chance to say, here's what I would suggest. Here's what I would suggest to say. Here's how I would help others learn and live values of the church, especially youth or children. So I have the experts here, both in your personal lives. You have a calling to serve within primary young women and with young men. And others, as far as that goes, let's just really quickly. We're right at the edge of our time, but just very quickly, what's one thing that you might share, Adrian?
What comes to my mind first is the obligation and the blessing we have to do it within our homes.
Okay,
and we've been learning from the prophets and been counseled from time to time. President Harold B. Lee stated the most important of the Lord's work that you fathers, mothers can do, will ever do, will be the work you do within the walls of your own home. So understanding that we are always an example. And as we select the principles that we teach constantly in our lives, we will rear children that will either be a character or will have a character.
I like that. That's catchy. That's good. I like that, Adrian. Thank you. Anne?
Well, I believe it's so important for us to model, again, these important characteristics. But I'd like to thank, again, some of the leaders that my children have had as they have caught them doing good. And then they have reinforced and told them, commended them for their good deeds. And then they've also shared them with me. And I'm grateful for those particular moments where I've been able to learn about actions that my children have carried out, which I would not have known in any other way. And I recognize that I, too, have a responsibility to reach out to others, to be able to build other people's children and strengthen them and recognize their personal needs. And sometimes it's just in the means of sending a note, of extending a phone call, to tell them that I'm thinking of them and care about them. Each of us needs to be reinforced. And when we feel of another's love, again, we don't just feel of their love, we feel of our Savior's love for us as well.
I like that. I especially like the part where you're saying is it's been a help to you as a parent to have the help.
It is.
To do
it has
that.
Been.
What a blessing. What a blessing. Cheryl?
Well, and I think I would just say that one of the greatest things we can do is just look for the opportunities every day in every situation and just think about how we could use that opportunity to teach our children. And if we're right there with them and teaching them and, you know, children especially, the younger we start, children are so believing. They're so receptive to the Spirit. and they want to please. And if we can start while they are young, of course, it's never too late to teach.
Right, I agree.
It's never too late. But if we can start when they are young and just get this inside of them, then we would be amazed at how much children can help the family and become responsible in helping values be lived within our family.
Oh, that is so good.
Can I share just quickly? My family isn't perfect. My children haven't always made correct choices. But I'm grateful for the teachings that I've given them and for what they have modeled for me. And it's my hope that just as we're taught, you know, again, to mothers to be guardians at the gate, so children have such an opportunity and privilege as they have parents who are teaching them the truth, that as they honor their parents, they will be blessed. And again, our families may not be perfect, but if we've taught them these correct principles, that can give us peace.
It can. And it's a peace that comes from no other source or no other way that's as real. It's a blessing. It is a very foundational blessing. And with that in mind, then, in Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, becoming one of my favorite teaching revelations. In verse 78, I just love the front line where it says, "Teach ye diligently." For me, that's hope. Regardless of your circumstances, do your best. Teach with all the diligence that you can. Find ways. Use these resources. But then the next line is so wonderful. "And my grace shall attend you." If you will do your best, then the grace of our Savior will come upon us and embolden us and help those who are learning. So when President Hinckley says that values don't just happen, I believe they don't. They are instilled over living and learning and the opportunity to witness. And I am grateful that I've had that chance to discuss that with you today. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.